For some of us, it will be old hat. And for some of you, you may have never heard it before. You have your, how many of us actually have our Bibles? How many of you, put your hands down. That's very good, by the way. Very good. And I'll count it on the phone. But, okay, I'll count it. All right. Brother, however, I'm actually going to shoot that in the foot in just a second. Brother Huntley was preaching. I tell you, I cannot tell you how much the Lord moved in this district conference. And when you have 100 pastors and their wives on their face for an hour and a half, weeping and crying and reaching out to God, friend, you've had a move of God. And but he said, not only does the church need a revival, it needs a rebible. And he says, we have removed Bibles out of our people's hands by putting scriptures up on the screen. Now, he's not against that. He does that too. But what he was saying is, as a church, we need to be back into the habit of having the Word of God in our hands. You know, there's just something about it. And this is probably just, I don't know, it may not really be anything to it, but just what you're used to. But, you know, I can read the Bible on the computer and I can read it on the phone, but there's just something about it when I turn that page. Something about it. Just rub your fingers down that page on God's Word. So what do you say we get rebibled? And pastor's the one that's got to do that more than anybody. I'm Mr. Electronic. I mean, I walk to the pulpit and all I got is my little reader. Has all the scriptures and everything in it. But pastor's going to get rebibled. And I might preach from you to an electronic thing, but I'm going to read to you from the book. I'm going to read from the book. I don't know if it'll save you any more than anything else, but be a shot. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 24. And we're just going to have about a 30-minute Bible study. That'd be all right? And when I'm done with this Bible study, if you have never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that you will allow me to... No, you can remain seated. All we're going to read is Scripture. That's what Bible studies are. So I'm not reading a text. I'm just starting Bible study. And... You know what? I tell you what. The truth is a beautiful thing, isn't it? And, you know, when someone asks you something and you tell them the truth, you don't ever have to remember what you said. Because you're going to say the same thing every time. Because it's the truth. It's people that lie that lose hair over trying to remember what they said last time. Because they kind of want to make sure they say the same thing. And they get it right. Beautiful thing about the Word of the Lord is I love to be able to talk to people a little bit about baptism in Jesus' name and tell them, I said, you know what? You don't need me to convince you of this. And I tell you what, you just go home and look up the word baptism. Back of your Bible. And you just read all the scriptures on baptism. And then you come tell me how you're supposed to be baptized. Because the word of the Lord will defend itself and take care of itself. Living for God is a very serious thing. The plan of salvation is a very serious thing. Man has polluted it, diluted it, changed it, rearranged it, mainly to fit their lifestyles and to fit their conscience so that they can feel good about themselves. But Jesus said, not the dotting of the I or the crossing of the T shall pass. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word is established forever. So it doesn't matter how much we twist it or turn it or what we do to it. When we stand before him, we are going to be judged by the unchangeable word of God. And we're going to be judged by the fact that we had access to this wonderful book and his convicting spirit. So God's word is a great thing. Look at Luke chapter 24. And that's one thing about electronics is you can push a button and increase the font size.
But you can't do it in the book. The only way to increase the font size is with a pair of these.
Hey, that is words. Okay, Luke chapter 24, and as Brother Sapp would say, page number 95. Look at verse number 45 in Luke 24. And brother, if you can get to it in time, for those that haven't prayed through yet, to bring their Bibles, we'll have it. We'll have it up there. We'll put it up there for the courtesy of our precious, precious guest that maybe they probably brought theirs and the saints didn't. All right, look, now this is Jesus and his disciples. Now this is very important. This is probably some of the most powerful scriptures in the Word of God. It says, then opened he. The he there is Jesus. So then opened Jesus there. The there is the disciples. So then opened Jesus, his disciples' understanding. Everybody say understanding. Now the best thing you can have about anything is understanding. In fact, the Bible says that his people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And do you remember the centurion came up to Jesus and said, my servant is sick with palsy and he is tormented. And Jesus said, lead the way and I'll come healing. And the centurion said, oh no, Lord. You don't need to come. He said, just speak the word. Because I have understanding. And then he looked at Jesus and he said, I am a man of authority and I am a man under authority. And I say to this servant, go, and he goes. And I say to that servant, come, and he comes. He says, Lord, just speak the word. What did Jesus say to him? Actually, he didn't say it to him. He said to everybody that was standing around. He said, no greater faith in all of Jerusalem have I ever seen than what I see right now. Jesus wasn't talking about the quantity. The measure of faith is given to every man. He was talking about the quality. This man had brought understanding into the scripture. And with understanding came power. You see, the problem with this religious world is they have the word, but they don't have understanding. Amen. And they do not rightly divide the word of God. They just sort of grab stuff that kind of fits and run with it. You can have something that's powerful, but if you don't know how to understand, if you don't have the understanding of how to use it, it could be worthless or even dangerous. So Jesus knew that. It wasn't enough just to give them scripture. He had been preaching to them for 3.5 years. He had given them examples and has shown them. He imputed into them power and all of these wonderful things. So now we are coming to the final moments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are some of the absolute last words that he will ever speak to his disciples. And he knows that. So this is what he says. He says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Now, I don't want to offend you. I want you to listen to me. He did not open the understanding of Billy Graham or the Pope or Pastor Daniel Kyle. He opened the understanding of the disciples. And let me tell you the problem with religion today. They try to interpret the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't need your interpretation. It needs your obedience. Now, the book of Revelations might need a little bit. And there's a lot of books in the Old Testament that probably needed some interpretation. And I doubt you or I even have that ability, unless God gives it to us. But the Lord made the New Testament so plain that even a child could understand it and receive it into their life. And Scripture, the Word of the Lord says that Scripture has no private interpretation. God is not interested in how you interpret His Word. If you don't understand something, search it in the Scripture, because the best interpretation for the Word of God is the Word of God. I heard a man on national television one time, a preacher, read Acts 2:38 and then back up and say, "Now let me explain to you what that means." I'm like, "Excuse me? It's already in plain English. I don't need your explanation. What you mean is, let me explain to you why I don't obey it." That's what you're really saying. Let me explain to you why what appears to be right in the Word is wrong and what I think is right. That's what you really are telling your people. Wow, this is supposed to be just a little old Bible study. Okay, we're going to get past this here in a few minutes, just a few more minutes. So he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to raise from the dead the third day." Verse 47. "That repentance," everybody say repentance, "and remission of sins," say remission of sins, "should be preached in his name." Now, who's talking here? That wasn't strong enough. Who's talking here? How you know that? Has red letters. No, I'm kidding. You know that because the Scripture reveals it's him talking. All right, "that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witness of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." So Jesus opened the understanding of the disciples. Now, every time someone says to you or talks to you about the Great Commission, your mind always goes to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16, 17, 18, 19. However, the Great Commission was given in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So, if you want a true understanding of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, don't grab a single scripture. Get all of the verses that surround the Great Commission. Put them all together and find out what Jesus said. So here he says remission of sins, he says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his nation, in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem, okay? All right, let's do some here. Let's go to Matthew 28. You know what? Let's go to Mark 16 first. Now, Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. We'll start with verse 14. We are right back to the Great Commission. This is right before Jesus ascended into heaven. It's after his death, burial, and resurrection. He has now appeared back to his disciples. And he is about to ascend up into heaven. It's the same time period of the scriptures I just read to you in Luke chapter 24. Is this okay so far? I don't want to lose you. I know you're used to pastor hollering and screaming, but today we're just gonna look at some scripture here. Okay, verse 14, chapter 16. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. The he is Jesus. The 11 is the disciples. We all know that. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now this is exactly what he said in the book of Luke. Preach this to every nation and begin at Jerusalem. Is it not the same words? Just written slightly different, but the same exact meaning. Then he says something here that we don't find in Luke. That's the beauty of, what do they call that? Synoptic Gospels, I think. I got that right? Wow, pulled that out of the hat. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. Everybody say baptized. Now, in Luke, he says, preach repentance and remission of sins. In Mark, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, we're going to tie this, we're going to go to Matthew, then we're going to tie it all together in the first message ever preached by any disciple whose understanding was opened by Jesus Christ. To understand what? The scriptures, which is what I'm reading to you. Okay, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Aren't you glad you had one cast out of you? They shall speak with new tongues. Aren't you glad you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, people say that's where snake handlers come from. That's ridiculous. Even Jesus didn't jump off the cliff. You don't tempt the Lord God. However, Paul the Apostle showed us, if by chance a serpent latches on to you, God's going to take care of you. And if you drink or eat something deadly that would normally kill you, unless it's your time to go, God's going to take care of you. So he's telling you that the power in you is not only going to take care of spiritual things, it's going to take care of physical things for you. All right. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, this is the Great Commission. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 28, which, by the way, the religious world thinks this is the only scripture in the Bible that deals with baptism. And because of that, they do not have the understanding that Jesus gave to his disciples. And without that understanding, they live in error. When truth is so obvious. How many of you remember when you got the truth and you got in the truth? And you just scratch your head and wonder, how in the world have I not seen that all of my life? How did that bypass me? Amen. Okay. Let's look at verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples, all right, so here we are. We have the same 11 that we had in Luke and the same 11 that we had in Mark. One of them's missing. Got to be careful how you handle your money and what you sell out for it. Oh, that hurts so bad. Okay. All right, so they saw him and worshipped him. All right, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, Jesus, they worshipped him. Some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now here we go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, all three of them start out the same way. Teach all nations, but begin at Jerusalem. Because it's the same great commission. Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now let's bring these together before we go find out who the only ones on planet Earth that had true understanding and how they fulfilled the words of Jesus Christ. So in Luke, he says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, right? In Mark, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now what we're going to find is that remission of sins comes through baptism. But don't take my word for that. We're gonna look at that in the scripture, because my word doesn't mean anything. So now in Matthew, he says, go and teach all nations, baptizing them. The same words, watch this, them in the name. It's the same thing he said in Luke. In the name. Preach remission of sins in the name. In my name is what he said. This name, however, is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to explain something to you. However, I'm going to show you scripturally that what I'm saying is the same way that the disciples received that understanding into their hearts and minds. We all can look at this and see that Father is not a name. What is it? It's a title. I have four children. That makes me, I hope. Just kidding. That makes me a what? However, I was given a name when I was a little bitty old thing. And I've carried that name through my whole life. My name is, and I'll let you, don't say pastor. That reminds me of, I shouldn't tell this because this really tells on me, but I don't do this anymore. However, when Hannah was about 3 years old, she was being asked by a nurse. She's getting a shot or something. So the nurse was trying to make conversation. And the nurse said, hey, honey, what's your mama's name? And Hannah looked up and said, mother. And the nurse said, yeah, I know she's mother, but, you know, what's her name? She went, Mom? So the nurse, a little exasperated, said, what does your dad call her? She says, dear God, Elizabeth. Needless to say, I don't say that anymore. Dear God, Elizabeth. Yeah, I knew that tell on me. So my name is Daniel. It's always been Daniel. And I'm a son because I have a father and a mother. They're deceased, however, they existed. And I came into this world and I am a son. But my name is Daniel. And I have brothers who carry my genes flowing through their blood. We share DNA. In fact, if you lined us five brothers up, outside of the fact that I'm the runt in the family, the rest of them were 6'1", 6'2", 300 pounds, 250 pounds, and there's me. But we all look alike to a certain point. They're older, fatter, and uglier, but outside of that, we look pretty close to one another. I'm a brother. So Jesus was revealing something very powerful here. And he starts this verse out. Look how, verse 18, look how he starts out. He says, I want you to understand something. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Outside of me, there is no other power. Philip said, show us the Father that it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have I so long time been with you, Peter, that thou hast not known? Come on, say it. Me. He that has seen the Father. And so he says here, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go and baptize. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, he's giving this commission to his disciples twice in different places. It says the 11, the disciples that followed him. And in Luke 24, we saw that he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And the commission was this: go and preach this gospel. Start here in Jerusalem, but then I want you to preach it everywhere else around this world, to all nations. And what you're going to preach to them is that they need to repent, right? Luke 24, that's what he said, that repentance and remission of sins. And you're going to preach to them that they need to be baptized, right? Luke 16 and Matthew 28. And once we understand that baptism is remission of sins, it's also in Luke 24. So he says, what you're going to preach to them is you're going to tell them to repent. You're going to tell them to be baptized, and that they are going to receive the Holy Ghost. So let's go to the very first time anyone, or the first time preaching was ever done, and we'll bring this to a close here in just a little bit. I want you to go to Acts chapter 2. In verses 1 through 4, you can read this for your homework later. Verses 1 through 4, the Bible talks about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Came into the room, fell upon all of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues. Okay, there's a lot of moving around. I'm hardly ever distracted. So if you're distracting me, you're distracting everybody. So let's kind of close this in. Everybody focus on Pastor, because this is what Satan does. Tries to distract, okay? So focus in. We're coming to the conclusion. and we want to hear. We don't normally have this. Y'all just aren't used to teaching, are y'all just used to screaming and hollering and yelling? You know the difference between preaching and teaching, don't you? It's just telling and yelling. When you teach, you tell it. When you preach, you yell it. That's pretty much about the only difference there is. Okay. This feels a lot better for me, though. Okay, so in Luke chapter 2, the Holy Ghost falls. Who's teaching this? Okay, the Holy Ghost falls, and they are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Then they talk to him, and they say, you know, these men speak in strange languages, and some of them, they even speak in the languages in which we know and understand. How's this? And so someone says, well, you know, they must be drunk. Verse 15, Peter stands up and says, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but third hour of the day or 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now that's in Joel chapter 2 and verse number 28. If you want to look it up for yourself. But he tells us what it says. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, Peter goes on for the rest of this chapter. That's your homework to read it. And he preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after they realized that they had crucified the Messiah. Now remember, what did Jesus tell them in the Great Commission? You're going to preach this gospel all over the world, but you're going to start in Jerusalem. So the first time this message is ever being preached, it is in Jerusalem. And Peter is preaching. And he preaches the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Paul says in chapter 7, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus answers, I am Jesus. Now, look at verse 37. Now when they, who? The people of Jerusalem, whom Simon Peter is preaching to. Now, folks, this is so important because all of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially the teachings of the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that we read here, are culminating at this point. They are coming to their apex of meaning. And so Peter says, or after he preaches, now the people respond. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles. So there's something very important you need to understand. If Peter gets this wrong, there's another 10 men. I know it says 11, but one of them was just added. There's another 10 men that were present during the Great Commission who could have corrected him. But who did Jesus give the keys to? He gave the keys to Simon Peter. And it was Simon Peter that preached the first message to Jerusalem, Samaria, which is a cross between Gentiles and Jews, and to the house of Cornelius, which were the Gentiles. So Peter opened the door of salvation to all three divisions, how God sees the world. The Lord doesn't divide us according to race and creed like we do. God sees Jew, Samaritan, Gentile. So this gospel is going to be preached to all the kinds of people. Peter said, verse 37, now when they heard this, They were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What is it that we need to do? I want you, if you're not reading in your Bible, I want you looking at the screen because I want you to know this is scripture. Verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Everybody say repent. What did Jesus say in the book of Luke in the Great Commission? That repentance should be preached in his name. Did he not say that? In Mark, he said, he that believeth. Well, you have to repent to come into a form of believing. So the first thing Peter does is he says, you have to repent of your sins. You have to ask God for forgiveness for what you have done. Then he goes on. After you repent, you need to be baptized in the name. Now that is exactly what Jesus told him in the book of Luke, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. He said the same thing in Matthew. Go ye therefore all nations, baptizing them in the name. That name is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But what is that name is the question. And so Peter says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus Christ. Why? Look at this. Look at this. For the remission of sins. Now, what did Jesus say in Luke chapter 24, the Great Commission? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. So Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and give him praise. Now, I didn't interpret anything. I let the scripture interpret itself. So my question to you is, and this is a really hard question, and if you have never been buried in Jesus' name, and if you're a guest here today, as we all were at one time, and your pastor baptizes in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because remember, Jesus didn't open his understanding. He opened the understanding of the disciples. And the man with understanding, the man whose mind was divinely opened, who God gave revelation and understanding of every word he ever said, when he baptized, he said, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins. So the question is, why is most of the world baptizing in the titles? Well, the first thing they're going to tell you is it doesn't matter. Hogwash. God didn't put nothing in that book that didn't matter. What did the word say? The word says, if all that Jesus did and said was written down, the skies could not hold them. Now that's a lot of writing. And he narrowed it down to this book. And you want to tell me it's not important? If I can say it this way without being sacrilegious, he left the junk out. And we all know there's no junk, right? But he narrowed it down all the way to this little book. So there's one thing you can bank on. There ain't nothing in there that's not of the greatest importance. In fact, baptism is so important that when Nicodemus came up to him, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you. The Bible tells us in Scripture, anytime it's repeated like that, verily, verily, it means this is absolute. You better hear what it is I've got to say, because this is the absolute truth. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. The first message ever preached, the first time the gospel was ever delivered. See, I'm preaching now. I left teaching, went into preaching. The first time the message was ever delivered, the first thing Peter says is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And you're going to tell me it don't matter? Oh, it matters. I think it was Jesus that said in book of Mark chapter 16, I read to you, he that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You say, well, it doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized. Are you serious? If you don't believe, honey, baptism ain't got squat to do with nothing. You can't do nothing with God till you believe. In fact, the Bible says he that believeth not is condemned already. If you don't believe, it doesn't matter what you do. You're condemned already. But the word of the Lord lets us know that baptism is part of the plan of salvation. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this is your challenge. If you don't let me baptize you today in Jesus' name, if the little bitty tiny elementary Bible study I have given to you right now doesn't show you that baptism in Jesus' name is the way to be buried in water according to the Word of God, if for some reason you still don't want me to baptize you today in Jesus' name, you say, well, I've already been baptized in the name of Jesus. I was baptized 3 times the other way, but I'll never forget the day when I went under in Jesus' name. It changed my life forever. But if I don't bury you today, and even if I do, your homework is to go home and just look up the word baptism. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm broke as well as this whole crazy church. Trying to get jobs. But I will find a way. I give you my word as a man of God. I will find a way to get my hand on $10,000. And I will give you $10,000 if you find me one scripture where anyone was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You'll back me up? All right, that's 20 grand. Sister Hansen, Steve, is that okay? Oh, you'll do it too. That's 40 grand, 50 grand, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 200, 30, 40, 50, 250,000, 260, 270, 280, 290, 300,000, 310,000. 320,000. We got four right there. 360. All right, we'll just round it up to $500,000. We'll round it up. We'll give you $500,000. One scripture, that's all I want. So somebody tell me why 90% of the religious world baptizes in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost when it's nowhere in the scripture. I'm going to tell you why. I haven't made you mad yet. I'm about to make you mad. And I'm going to bring this to a close here in just a couple minutes. That was changed. Look it up for yourself. It's history. You can find it. Encyclopedia Britannica. I get this kind of mixed up. Somebody might be able to help me. It's 3rd edition, I think, volume 11. Is that right? Flipped around something. My student over there. Do you know, brother? You wasn't listening? Sorry, You know, if I haven't done that myself about 15 times, I'd probably be upset. But I can't tell you how many times I had to look at the preacher and say I wasn't listening. So the Encyclopedia Britannica, the Pope Constantine the Council of Nicaea, year 329 A.D., Britannica Volume 11, Edition 3, or vice versa, do you remember? They have it also. Wikipedia has it. Okay. But it's actually written in Britannica Encyclopedia. Yes. Okay. Well, anyway, you can look it up for yourself. I read it from my own eyes, by the way. But it was on microfiche down in the library in the basement up in Louisiana. But at the Council of Nicaea, history records that Pope Constantine, the Council of Nicaea, the year 329 A.D., changed the baptismal formula from Jesus' name to Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And the reason why they did that was because they were incorporating Baal worship, which was water, sun, and moon. And because they were polygamous, they turned the Godhead, as they term it today, they turned it into a polygamy, a three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, rather than God, who manifested himself as the Son. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifested in the flesh, who now dwells in Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. And the only God that you and I will ever see, and the only God that the angels have ever seen, is God's invisible, unseen to man or angel, unless he manifests himself, will be Jesus Christ. And that's why when he started out in Matthew, he said, all power. There's none left over, folks. The word all means just that. So if there is anybody up there besides Jesus, they ain't got no power. And I believe it was John the Revelator that said, a window was open in heaven, and I saw a throne and one set upon the throne. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Amen. So, Word of God makes it very plain. Baptism is only to be applied in Jesus' name. It was, listen to me, it was never changed by God. His word is settled in heaven forever. It was changed by man. But you're not going to be judged by the Pope or Billy Graham or Pastor Daniel Kyle. You are going to be judged by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. And he's going to judge us through this word. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. The revelation of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Pastor, I was baptized when I was little. I don't really remember. Then why don't you make it for sure? Why don't you just make it a sure thing and let us baptize you in Jesus' name? Or you may say, I remember when I was baptized and I just don't know what the preacher said. Well, why don't you make it for sure? And am I in your way again? And get baptized in Jesus' name, since there is no other way scripturally to be buried. And when you go down in the water, the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to you. Sins are remitted. And as David said in the book of Psalms, he says, Lord, thou hast cast my sins behind your back. Thrown them behind your back, never to be remembered against me again. Baptism in the name of Jesus is the most powerful thing you will ever experience. And people that seek the Holy Ghost and sometimes don't receive it, and there's all kinds of variables involved there, most of the time when they get buried in the name of Jesus Christ, they come out of the water talking in tongues as the Holy Ghost gives them the utterance. Isn't God awesome? So I wonder here today, not embarrassment, we all had to do the same thing. We all had to make the same trip. I wonder if there is anyone here after this Bible study, after seeing without a doubt scripturally that the way to be buried is in the name of Jesus. And I promise you, the only one trying to talk you out of it right now is the devil. It certainly ain't God. It's in his word. He's not going to talk you out of his word. So if you're there questioning yourself on whether I should do this or not, you're questioning on whether I should obey God's word. You say, but Pastor, how do I know you showed me the truth? Because I didn't interpret anything. I just read scripture and put it all together for you, the three great commissions, and showed you how Peter fulfilled it. And there we are. Acts chapter 8, they were baptized in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 10, they were baptized in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 19, the Bible says, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, coming across some of John's disciples, asked them if they had received the Holy Ghost. And they said, we have not so much of heard of the Holy Ghost. He said, then how were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. He said, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying that you should believe upon him which should come after him, Jesus Christ. And the word of the Lord says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Praise God. So you might be someone that's even been following God for a while. I remember when I saw the revelation of Jesus' name baptism, I already had the Holy Ghost. I had received the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and had been living for God, worshiping and dancing and shouting. But I loved him with all of my heart. I didn't love religion. I loved him. And because I loved him, he showed me truth. And I was reburied in his name, the only way to be baptized in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So with every eye closed, nobody looking around, nobody sees you but me, and I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, or even if you're not sure, would you raise your hand? No one's looking around. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep it up. There's some of you not raising it. 5, because I know the Lord already told me. Okay, 6, 7. Okay, I'm trying to see. I'm giving some more of you just a little bit of time. 7, 8, 9. A little bit of time to get brave. Okay. Now, I might call you out if you don't raise it. All right, I'm going to count down. 10, 9, 8, 7. Come on, you can do this. 6, 5, 4, 3. Waiting on you. 2, 1. Okay, you can open your eyes. There's 9 people here that raised their hand that said they're either not sure or they know for sure they were never buried in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. I want to baptize you, and I will do it today. And we have a baptismal pool just right around the corner here, hot, nice heater running in it. It's like taking a bath. And we'll put you under in Jesus' name, and it will be one of the greatest experiences that you have ever received. And you'll thank God you did it. That is for sure. Amen. 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 Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to close in prayer and give God thanks. And if you raise your hand and you would like to be baptized today, then I'm just going to ask, because we all love you, and remember, we all did the same thing. We all stepped out. We all came down. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. In fact, it's something to be excited about. Excited that you've seen something, and you love God, and you want to do this because you want to get as close to him as you possibly can. while we're praying, if you will, if you'll step out and just come down, and we're going to pray with you just for a moment, then we're going to take you and baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your word here today. You're so good to us. I pray, God, that you sweep across this congregation as you have already done here today. You have touched our hearts and our minds and our spirit. You have caused us to break before you. Lord, you have blessed us and you have moved upon our hearts and upon our minds and upon our spirits, and you have changed us. And Father, I pray right now that you'll touch the hearts of those that have said, I'm not sure. Either they know or they're just not sure. God, that they would be willing to step out and come, that they would make their way down to the front. Lord, because you love them and you have called them and they love you. God, they love you. It's why they're here today. And God, I just pray that you'll continue to work in their lives mightily. And let this word that has been delivered to us today, let it get deep into our heart and deep into our spirit. Father, we pray. And Lord, as Sister Waller testified today and admonished us today, God, I wish that we would get, Lord, tracts that would go with us everywhere about baptism and Holy Ghost, and cards, God, that we have made up which invite people to the house of God, that we would bring them with us everywhere that we go, that they might come to the house of God and feel the power of God and the anointing of God. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. And those here today, God, that know they need to be buried in the name of the Lord, but they have not come forth, Father, I pray that you go with them. Lord, be with them tonight. Gently touch them, nudge them. Father, let them feel your love, Lord. Just touch them. And everyone that's heard this word, let it get down in their heart and convict them. Oh God, that you would put a hunger in them, that they would study your word to see that it is so. Thank you for revelation and truth. We ask it and pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and give him praise. Amen. Amen. We're going to baptize our brother today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God's good. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Was it last Sunday or Sunday before that? The Sunday before that, 2 weeks ago, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And now we're going to baptize him in Jesus' name. And I know this coming Wednesday night, we're going to be baptizing Gabriel in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of our young people that's been praying and seeking God. God gave him the Holy Ghost. Was it last Sunday? 2 Sundays ago, same Sunday, God filled Gabriel with the Holy Ghost. We're going to baptize him Wednesday. Hallelujah! Praise God! And we invite everybody to come back and be with us Wednesday night at 7 o'clock right here, as well as again next Sunday at 2 o'clock.